Hello, dear podcast listeners. It's Angel from A Cloudy Monster. This episode, we invited Lana and Alyosha to talk about the political tension within Bosnia and Herzegovina right now. May you introduce yourself a bit, your name, city, and where do you live at the moment?
Oh, hello. I'm Lana, and I come from Bijeljina. Bijeljina is a town that is in Republic of Srpska. And yeah, I'm very happy to be here.
My name is Alyosha. I come from Zenica, from the Federation, and I'm honored to be on the show.
Thank you, guys. So as different media reported, the political situation in Bosnia is described as on the edge of a crisis because of a statement made by the Serb president, Dodik, a few weeks ago. But before we start going to the current issue, would you share us some information on Bosnian politics and the unique presidency system for those who are not familiar with the topic?
So Bosnia has three presidents. One represents the Bosniaks, the other one represents the Croats, and the third one represents the Serbs, which are the three constitutive peoples in the country. The country is divided in two administrative units, the Federation of Bosnia and Herzegovina and Republika Srpska. Voters from Republika Srpska choose the Serbian representative in the presidency, while voters from the Federation choose the Bosniak and the Croat one.
That's kind of like the most simple way to explain this, I would say, because this is definitely like very, like you said, unique, unique situation in the world. But I feel like, as we mentioned before, as we mentioned in class, and we were talking about how I feel like the issue arose just when the peace was made with the Dayton Agreement, when the country was split into these two administrative units. And I think as Balkans has been a region that has been had a lot of conflicts throughout the history, I think even with this Dayton Agreement that is promoting peace, the conflicts are still arising because of the separation of the country, although it promotes peace.
It's still staying the roots. So in terms of the current situation right now, what does it look like for the past few weeks?
Well, it's a bit of a longer story. It all started in late July, I believe. So Bosnia has the office of the High Representative, which is a person appointed by the UN Security Council, and they represent the international community's interests in BNH, and the office is made to protect and make sure that the Dayton Peace Agreement is upheld. The High Representative has a lot of powers, jurisdictional, whatnot, but a key moment in July that happened was that Valentin Inzko, the previous High Representative, he's from Austria. He enforced a law which banned the denial of the Srebrenica genocide and celebrating war criminals.
Yeah. It was a big thing, because it was for the first time, in a way, international community kind of decided to take a stance. War criminals were convicted from all of the sides, but this time the Srebrenica genocide, it was made like in a way official, and it was illegal to deny it, like Alyosha said. And I feel like that sparked a lot of different reactions from all of the sides, as some of the Serbs were denying it, some of them didn't, then the other side thought it was a good thing, and also as people had their own reactions, so did the politicians.
The reactions was that the Serbian side decided to block government institutions. Milorad Dodik led the charge against BNH institutions. He blocked the presidency, the parliament, and the House of the Peoples, which is basically another parliament. Political crisis developed as the country was unable to be governed efficiently or at all. And it resulted in a couple of consequences for the civilians. For example, one of them was the inability of the army of BNH to help with forest fires that happened during the summer in Herzegovina, which meant that these political shenanigans directly led to civilians losing their homes and being affected by natural disasters, and the politicians didn't even care about that. They were all about political shenanigans, which is a common occurrence in Bosnia, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, throughout, generally, through like in the past, how many, like maybe 10, 15 years, Aljoša mentioned Milorad Dodik, he is the Serbian representative now in the presidency, and he has been mentioning throughout these, throughout his rule, a possibility of the Serbian side or the Republic of Srpska to kind of separate in a way. However, this time he has taken some of actual steps in a way to do it. Well, like Aljoša said, he, like, one of the...
After government institutions were blocked, Dodik made steps to separate Republika Srpska from BNH by establishing its own institutions. And one of the big things that happened is it's going up for vote, I think, on Friday in the parliament of Republika Srpska. It's a vote deciding that Republika Srpska will withdraw from the armed forces of BNH, that the government courts, BNH's courts, will not have any power in Republika Srpska. Only Republika Srpska's courts will have jurisdictional power in the state, and that tax collection will not be done through the central government, but by the entity.
Yeah, I feel like those steps that he made kind of, you know, resulted in different reactions from the international community, as these were some actual steps. Because, like I said, in the past, he has made these claims saying that the entity will be separated. And usually, if there was some other issue in the state that had nothing to do with this different administration parts of the state, he will, whatever the issue was, he will always mention this and nationalism, because in a way to draw attention from the main issue. So I feel like for a lot of people, and me, when I first heard about this whole thing happening, I didn't take it seriously, because I thought, well, he's been doing this for like 10 years. Why is this situation different? Now they're making some steps that, you know, are affecting all of us, might affect all of us in a way. But a lot of critics are saying that this is just his way of trying to get out of the situation. And I think for a lot of critics are also saying that he is just, this is kind of the end for him. And he is trying to make all of these, like, I don't know, miserable steps to save him. Desperate moves just to draw attention from what he's actually doing, and maybe he will leave the country or he would withdraw or whatever. But some are just saying that this is just another of his political games that he has already been doing for years.
Yeah, fair.
So yeah, as you said, voting on the law of whether to block Herzegovina judicial system and military forces will take place this Friday within the Parliament of Republic Srpska.
So based on your experience, like, or like people hearing, like people's opinions around you, what do you think, like, the possibility of what's going to happen?
Good question. The thing is, before yesterday, I was 100% sure that the Parliament of Republika Srpska will pass the law.
Will pass.
But a big thing happened yesterday. So Mr. Escobar is a special U.S. representative for Western Balkans. He landed in Bosnia and had a meeting with Milorad Dodik yesterday. It was a very big thing. It was all over the news. And one very interesting statement Escobar made at the press conference after the meeting was that there's a possibility of Dodik withdrawing all of his decisions, including that law, which would separate Republika Srpska from BNH's government. So as of now, it's in the balance. It could, the vote could go through, but it could also fail. It may not be even held. It's a mess, and I think even the politicians that are going to decide don't know what's really going to happen.
Yeah, like from what I know, from what Aljoša already said, I personally think that all of these things that have been going on are kind of led by Milorad Dodik. But he's not, in charge, although he is part of the presidency. Like other states are also involved, just as in any conflict, really. Like Western powers such as the US or the Western Europe, the EU, have their own interests. Russia and China have their own interests. Mm-hmm. Serbia has their own interests. And I think in that sense, Milorad Dodik can't really do anything as he wants. He is going to listen to these other states and international community, which we saw happened yesterday. And I think, like I already said, I think this could be just one of his games and one of what he's trying to kind of sell to the people. But he does not really have the power to actually separate the country.
I also believe a significant factor going against Dodik's policies is that he lost the support of the government's opposition. Once INSKO passed the law about the genocide, the opposition in Republika Srpska was all behind Dodik. They supported the blocking of the institutions. But now things got a bit too serious for their liking, and the opposition has been speaking heavily against Dodik and their moves and his moves, and in order to secede from a country, you really need all of the support you can get.
Yeah.
And Dodik's losing it, and I think he's feeling it. So if I had to bet, I'd say nothing's gonna happen, just like always. So,
yeah, I think that exactly. He has lost a lot of support from the opposition, and in the past elections that happened, he lost a lot of. For example, my town, his party, although my town is like one of the main centers in Republika Srpska, his party never was like the leading one. And he also, in the past elections, he lost his lead in Banja Luka, the capital of Republika Srpska, which I think from the, like, if you watch and analyze his interviews after the elections, you can really see that he's afraid. And that he got a bit aggressive because he is losing control and doesn't know what to do. And as another elections are approaching, this could as well be another desperate try to win more votes on the next elections. So
actually, I want to ask. So, like, when was the first time like he got elected?
2006.
Yeah.
At the time, was he already making this kind of a progressive comments, or he's just like totally different?
Dodik, before he rose to power, he was a very different politician advocating for different things.
Mm-hmm.
He was very pro-unity, protect Bosnia and its territorial integrity. And since getting into power, I think he realized that a big majority of his voters are nationalists. And you gotta appeal to the people.
Yeah.
And so he changed his policies. And Dodik now and Dodik 15, 20 years ago, very, very different.
Very different,
yeah.
When he first rose to power, he was... So another... We have three presidents in the Bosnia, but we also have a president in Republika Srpska. And which is... I know, it's like complicated. But we also have that. And in 2006, I think, he was elected the president of Republika Srpska.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when, because in Republika Srpska, it's mostly Serbian population. And like Alyosha said, there you can't really promote Bosnia because he was also getting support from Russia and Serbia. So he had to appeal to them. So he had to change his policy and kind of be more pro-Russia, pro-Serbia. That's why he had to change his policies. And then he was elected the president, the Serbian representative, BNH as a whole, but he still kept the same policy of like, Republika Srpska, Serbia before Bosnia.
So like from like people around you, like especially Lada, you're living in Srpska. So what's people's reaction to like his statement this time? Like most people just...
There's no reaction. The thing is, people are not talking about this much.
Why?
Because one thing is that no one is taking him seriously, like I already said. He's been making comments.
Yeah, this is the billionth time something like this is happening.
Yeah.
Last year I saw a lot of news like this.
Yeah, exactly. And when I'm reading the news, like the media, especially the international one, I'm really afraid, because when I look at it as international, as someone from outside, I would be really afraid, oh my God, a conflict is going to happen, you know. But as I've been living here all my life, and as I've been talking to my parents and just the people around me, people are not really taking it that seriously, because and also all of these thoughts about another violent conflict and another war, possible war, no one is like for it. The older generation that have experienced the war are all still very tired and traumatized by it, so no one really wants a war. And younger generations also don't want to fight. None of them is willing to sacrifice their lives for this country, especially because of the whole economic situation and younger generations leaving the country. So, I mean, who is going to fight?
Yeah, of course.
There's not much to fight for, to be honest.
So this statement would definitely be really unpopular. You want to add anything?
I just believe that the news you read in The Guardian and CNN...
Yeah,
first of all, there's always that sense of... you know, making the story a bit more interesting than it really is.
Making the drama.
Yeah. But what they fail to take into perspective is the people and how they feel about it. Because, they've talked to politicians, they've talked
to experts, NGOs,
analysts, but they haven't gone to the street and asked people who are actually mainly going to be affected by the war.
Exactly. Who's going to fight in the war?
And
those people.
Exactly, and there is literally nobody willing to fight for this. There are people, of course, there are always exceptions to the rule, but not many. So I really do not believe talking about the war is even worth it. It's just a waste of time. It's definitely not going to happen.
In terms of peace, you know, like, here is always full of negative peace. What has the UN done, like, in attempt to establish, trying to establish positive peace in Bosnia after the Dayton Treaty? And also this time, what it has done to...
Their efforts have been really, really bad. Yes.
Not to come.
The international community hasn't done much to achieve positive peace. And even the Dayton Peace Agreement in itself blocks the ability of having positive peace.
Yes.
As you've made a country separated along ethnic lines, and then you expect the three peoples who live separately, administer themselves separately, to live together in unity and harmony. It's just not possible. Mm-hmm. So when the Dayton Peace Agreement was signed, it was also signed that positive peace cannot be achieved in B&H.
If the Dayton Agreement states.
Yeah. And even... we've had the International Criminal Tribunal for former Yugoslavia as some sort of positive peace building, but it hasn't achieved much success in that regards, because every time someone is convicted for war crimes, the side they come from would deny it. And they would claim to be victimized and that the policies of the ICTY are directed against them. This is true for all of the sides.
Yeah.
Okay.
And also some of them have been released, not charged with any crimes, which is also controversial and led to other tensions arising. And also my dad was telling me that there were also these like army forces from like the UN during the 90s and like maybe beginning of the 2000s, I'm not sure. They were there in order to like keep the peace, but people were living already normal. Like, you know, no one was having any type of violent conflict. But all of these efforts that they put with, they were all, when you look at it on the paper, in the news, it all sounds very nice. But in reality, people were not actually willingly cooperating because people were traumatized by the war. People are not ready to forgive. People are not ready to accept the guilt, let's say, of their own side. And every other effort from the international community is just useless. And is in vain because people are still living separately and thinking separately.
Yeah, so it's really hard to reach a consensus.
Yeah, I believe that we've been characterized by the international community as peoples who cannot achieve positive peace, because our history is so filled with conflict, and I believe they've just given up on us.
Yeah.
When the Dayton Peace Agreement was signed, the international community basically said, okay, we stopped the fighting.
That's
enough. There's not much we can do besides
yeah.
that.
And also, like, a good example is taking, like, history books. Like, history books that we have in schools. We all have different books. Like, educational system is one of the examples how separated we are. Not just history, but also geography. Like, can you tell me what is different in geography, in other, like, ethnicities? Nothing is different. So I think that's also a good representation of how, like, systematically through the, like, the structures of the state, we are separated, and it's very difficult to connect when you have one class with Bosniaks and Serbs, and they go to different history classes.
We may live in the same country, but there's not much we share.
Yeah, so from your perspective, I know it's like a big question, but do you see any possible solutions lead to a systematic change?
Honestly, to some extent, I'm positive, because these new generations that are coming, a lot of them think like us in a way, and are chill and are not nationalists in the first place. And I think a lot of the new generations are not concerned with these like national symbols or like war and like this is our territory, this is yours. A lot of us are quite in that sense chill, and because we ourselves have not experienced the war, I think in a way that is kind of releasing us from this trauma and guilt and fear of the other side. So I think I am to some extent positive that there might be some kind of a positive change.
Yeah. Personally, from my experience, I am born to a Croat father and a Serb mother. I was born and raised in a Bosniak city, and I've never had any problems because I wasn't a Bosniak. Like, the younger generations aren't interested in that. And so many negative things happened in the past because of these ethnic divisions. We finally learned our lessons, that we should overcome them and try to live together. So I really do believe there is hope for Bosnia, but it's a lot of work needs to be done.
Yeah.
And one thing definitely needs to change is the way Bosnia is ran, because three presidents, two entities, sub-entity divisions, I don't want to even get into them, they're too complicated. those things really do need to change, because ruling the country in an efficient way is impossible. So along with political reforms, just time will give us a chance to heal and overgrown the mentality, or this negative mentality we have developed.
If we manage to avoid another conflict.
Hopefully, I really hope. So thank you very much. And we really hope the peace in Bosnia can be maintained and consolidated. And of course, we'll see how things go on Friday.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.